G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 154. And just before I get started today, I just wanted to, as usual, give a big shout out to you, the listener. Thank you once again for tuning in right through 2022, where we saw the podcast go over 1 million listeners in 59 countries around the world. So thank you for your support. I just wanted to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year, and I hope your health goals that you're looking for are reached very soon. Okay, folks, coming up on today's podcast, I'm going to be speaking with Gráinne Close. And Gráinne is a 49-year-old mother, a wife, sister, and auntie, and great aunt who lives in Belfast in Northern Ireland. And Gráinne changed her lifestyle in January 2022 to incorporate intermittent fasting due to an increase of metabolic health issues. And she was trying to juggle a work-life balance of being a mother, CEO, living with perimenopause, and she found intermittent fasting, which has been life-changing. And she's lost a fair bit of weight over the first 9 or 10 months of her journey, which you'll hear about today. And that's led her to take up running again, and which she's been a great runner right through her life. And now she's looking at doing the London Marathon, as you'll hear about in this podcast. And here to tell us all about it today is the amazing Gráinne. Oh, g'day, Gráinne, and thanks for joining us all the way there from Northern Ireland.
I am indeed, Graham. It's early morning here, so 8:30, and I know it's maybe afternoon with yourself.
It is indeed. It's around 4 p.m. here and around 8:30 or something there in Northern Ireland, a country I hold in my heart very dearly, and I've travelled it a fair bit. But Gráinne, for those people around the world that may not know you or your story, if you wouldn't mind sharing a bit of your backstory and any issues you had with health or weight in your life and how you found your way to intermittent fasting.
No problem, Graham. I'm delighted to be on the show and I'm delighted here to be speaking. I haven't heard any other guests from Northern Ireland or Ireland on your show yet, so I'm really delighted to be here this morning. Yeah, for me, I've been on this journey for the last 9 months. It has been an amazing transformational journey for me. When I look back with regards to my weight loss journey, as I call it, or shedding, releasing my weight, I've always been, whenever I can remember, carried that little bit of additional extra weight. I'm living here in Belfast, but I grew up in a little village called Ahaco, and outside Ballymena, and my family owned a little local bakery shop. And a bit like yourself, Graham, when you talked about your family having a sweetie shop, we had a bakery, so I would always have been surrounded by treats and chocolate eclairs, buns, trebecs, but it, you know, like, so I would have always been around sugary food. So I grew up with a sweet tooth, and suppose not having real any kind of understanding around the food that I was putting into my body. So just, and also then when I turned 18, 19, you know, like, to start to have some alcohol, and that would have been cider. So I noticed around those, you know, transition when leaving home, going away to work, going to university, that I started to gain more weight. So then just as life, basically, the size I am now, I can never, ever remember being this size as a young person. You know, you hear people talking about, oh, I can fit into my size 10 when I was 20. I've never experienced that. So I always carried weight, and it was always kind of part of who I was, or who I was, because that's not the case now.
Yeah, fantastic. So how did you actually find out about intermittent fasting, Rania?
Okay, I think for me, it had just got to the stage where I realized that I was perimenopausal and had been for the last 4 or 5 years probably really struggling with the perimenopause and just the whole transition of that, and kind of trying to work through it with exercise and food. Not very successfully, I might add, and not kind of making the connection of the likes of the different food that I was eating and how that was impacting on my hormones, but also on my mood and what have you. So I was fortunate enough, went to visit my GP over a year and a half ago and explained to her, you know, like, I mean, I'm not feeling great. I feel that I'm perimenopausal, but also I had gained a lot of weight throughout COVID, because for me, COVID, and like a lot of people, it nearly felt like every night was a Saturday night. So I would get up onto the couch with all the snacks and get the snacks out in the evening time. And that's where I really noticed that then all of a sudden I had gained quite a lot of weight. So that was, I didn't feel good. I was starting to experience a lot of health issues with regards to what I would say obesity issues, you know, in terms of I got gout, even though the doctors would say, oh no, it's not obesity related. I knew it was, had to be connected to the food that I was eating, increasing my uric acid. So I went to the doctor and basically I went on HRT, which was great and helped, but I still was carrying the weight. And I remember last January 2022, I went for lunch with my family. I have a 6-year-old daughter and my partner of 22 years. And we went for lunch and I felt awful after it, in terms of indigestion, really uncomfortable. I felt like I had nearly just like a stuffed turkey in terms of my neck. I just felt like I was stuffed up with food, and I was like, I have to do something drastic. And I remember, and when I say drastic, I mean meaningful, you know, that I have to really create a change in my life, not a diet. I was never into diets. I never thought diets really worked. So I thought I have to do something. And I remember seeing a couple of my friends had come up that November to visit me, and they had looked amazing. They were bright eyed. They were, you know, really looking fit and healthy. And I was like, what is it you're doing? And they talked about intermittent fasting. And initially I was like, I have to say, I was like, was that, you know, starving yourself? I don't think I could do that. You know, that kind of, that's the mindset. And then I started to think about it and thought, for me, I have to do, you know, like I have to understand something before I really kind of can engage with it, or, you know, suppose even try it or test it. So I basically started to read up about it. And that's how I came across yourself, Graham, and looking at the, and I really wanted to understand the science behind it. So I did read Dr. Fung's obesity code, diabetes code, because I felt, not that the doctor ever said, my GP said I was pre-diabetic, but I felt I am heading towards that way, because I did notice that sugar had an impact. And I noticed the fatigue that I was having if I had carbs or sugar. So I did my research and then realized there's actually something in this, you know, this makes sense to me. And then on the 3rd of January, I decided that's it. I am going to try this, and I'm going to stop snacking at 6:30 every evening. And that's how I started. I started with saying, right, at 6:30, I closed my window. And luckily, from the books that I'd read and podcasts that I'd listened to yourself, I started off with a clean fast. So I started off with, I have to try black coffee and water. And really, I haven't looked back since the 3rd of January last year.
Fantastic. So just tell us, the 3rd of January last year, 2021. So you're coming up to 22, sorry. Yep. So you're coming up to that first year, 12 months you've been doing this, Gronja. So for the people out there, just run through your stats, your age, your height, and sort of if you can remember what sort of weight you were where you started, if you're happy to share that.
Yeah, of course. I was 200 pounds. And today I'm sitting at 136 pounds. I'm 5 foot four. I'm 49. I had the app that was connected to my scales. And when I started, I always remember on that there was more red than there was no green. It was all red. And today I'm sitting with a data that's all green in terms of my health stats from the scale. And I remember at that time when I started, I was the age of a 57-year-old. That's what it had come up. And today I'm 49. So that feels like a non-scale victory, Graham.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about your protocol. So you picked this up and you read a bit of the science and you sort of thought, well, yeah, okay, this makes a bit of sense, so I'm going to give it a go. So where did you start off? What was your protocol in terms of your fasting and feasting hours?
I started off, I thought that I would need to, you know, suppose I had lots of habits that I would need to break. And the first thing that I thought was the snacking at night was, for me, was the issue. And if I could get a, you know, like if I could conquer that, then that would be, suppose, for me, the start of this. So I was looking at what I was eating at night. And then that's when I decided that, okay, I just need to stop eating at 6:30. So I stopped eating at 6:30. And then I wanted to take it slowly. So I started off stopping, the consistency of stopping eating at 6:30, no matter what I was doing, I would, this is my window closed. And initially I would have started eating then the next day at maybe 10 or 11 o'clock. And I tried that for a couple of weeks, so I would have been fasting from 6:30 in the evening to 10 o'clock the next morning. And then I gradually just kept pushing it. At the 2 weeks of 6:30 to 10 o'clock in the morning, and then pushed it to 12 noon, and then pushed it to lunchtime. And then before I knew it, Graham, and it just kind of was evolving, and, you know, like I was tweaking it as I went along. Then before I knew it, I was having one meal a day. And basically that took, I would say, the first three, it was, yeah, at least over 3 months of just tweaking it and taking it easy from 6:30 in the evening to the next day about 10, 12, and then pushing it to the one meal a day.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And just switching back there in your backstory, you mentioned the family bakery and that sort of thing. And I mean, obviously in Ireland, the bakeries are fantastic, aren't they? I remember a particular bread shop in Derry called Ann's Hot Bread Shop. I used to go down there and get these things called snowballs and the Irish stew and all of that. And I'd go home with all these big bags of snowballs and Irish stew. And oh, it was so great. But, you know, obviously at the time, I thought it was great. And an Irish stew I still love now. But yeah, so when you're sort of in those situations, and like I was when my parents bought a convenience store, it can be tricky for our weight. And sort of when you came to intermittent fasting and that protocol when you started, and I like the fact that you started off slowly and then you just gradually increased your fasting period and that sort of thing, and while you were tweaking it. And were you delaying any of the foods, or were you eating everything that you sort of craved?
No, initially, Graham, I thought if I could get the no snacking at night and the fasting, if I could get that, I, you know, like I wasn't too concerned initially what I was eating. And I remember going out for lunch with a friend, and within that window from like 1 o'clock, having lunch with her and having a dessert. So I'm still being okay and still noticing that I was, you know, I was getting results in terms of weight loss. But I think what happened for me then is the body adjusts. As time goes on, you actually don't want the sweet stuff. Your body starts looking for other things. So initially I would have had lunch, and if there was something sweet, I would have had that with, you know, like a dessert or what have you. So again, that evolved. And then I realized, okay, well, you start seeing what your body, you know, in terms of what you can eat and what you can't. And I noticed, you know, things like I have to be careful with nuts. I have to be careful. You know, everybody's different. And that was the thing that I was telling myself. It's not one size fits all with fasting, and what works for one person may not work for another. So basically, it initially started off, took out crisps, all the rubbish stuff. But as time has gone on, I've noticed that my body is craving, I don't want processed food, that I can taste processed food, that's, it's not good. So my body's wanting natural food, and I'm craving things like Greek natural yogurt and berries. Do you know, so it's has evolved as time has gone on. And now when I do take something that's very sweet, I'm not that interested in it. Also, when I first started, what I would have closed my window with in the early stages would have been, and I think this is really interesting, so I would maybe had my dinner, and that would have, you know, that would have been healthy enough. And then I would have had dark chocolate with a berry. And I now don't do that. I don't want the taste of the dark chocolate. I just close the window with no dessert. So it has evolved. And I noticed, and that's why I would say to people, stick at it, you know, because the first 3 months is just time for your body's adjusting. It's changing. But if you can get through the first 3 months, then you'll, you know, like, I mean, I think you'll reap the benefits of that. And it's just then for me, it was the habit. I just like in this kind of habit of, you know, suppose consistency, I close my window at 6:30 and that's it. And my body doesn't look for anything after 6:30.
Yeah, I think it's that natural gravitation, isn't it, towards that higher quality food the longer we go in this lifestyle. I mean, I'm nearly 5 years into it now, and I'm the same. I've just over the years, but even at the start, because I'd come from that background of a sugar and fast food addict, which I'd worked through before I'd come to intermittent fasting. But even then, some of my choices probably weren't as great as what they are now. And I like to say, Gronja, I eat what makes me feel my greatest, not what my mind wants, because eating what my mind wanted got me into the state that I was. Yeah. But so, you know, you made that progression. You got that message of the clean fast straight away. So you had that nailed. Was there any struggles early on with this? Did you find intermittent fasting hard at all? Was there anything that you were trying to adjust to, whether it be socially or fitting in with your wife?
No, and I think that's what I love about it, Graham, is that you can tweak it, so you can make it fit in with, you know, I have a very busy life. I'm the director of a UK charity here in Northern Ireland, and I'm constantly on the go. And I love the fact that, you know, in work, the clarity that I got in the morning time when I'd be working, that I had just great clarity and a lot of energy to be able to do what I needed to do. And then if I had social events coming up, I was able to tweak my day around that. So I find that it's very adaptable, it's very flexible once you've got into that consistency. And it's totally worked for me. And, you know, I nearly feel that when I speak to people, I'm thinking more people need to know about this, because it actually works. You do get people who are, oh, you're starving yourself, and I'm like, actually no, I'm not starving myself. I love food. I will continue to love food. I like good quality food. I love fruit. You know, like, I mean, so I think for me, what I've done is reduced my sugar intake. I have switched from really kind of good, wholesome food and eat as, you know, like as less processed food as I can. And I actually have to say, Graham, I don't drink alcohol. And I think a lot of people think that 5 years ago, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, I made a decision that I wouldn't drink because I have a then she was only a little baby, and I thought, I don't want to have a hangover ever with a child. I just couldn't deal with that. So I give up drink about 5 years ago, and I think that has helped me as well, the fact that I don't drink, and now no sugar, and my health, I'm just feeling very energetic and great, and it's just amazing. And I just want so many other people to experience this, you know, because I regret that it took me this length of time, but I'm just really happy that I feel that I have no doubt extended my life by at least another 10 years, because I was getting to that stage where, you know, at 200 pounds, climbing stairs, my knees, everything, I was getting up in the morning, my joints were sore, my wrists were sore. All of that has gone, Graham. I had, and I think I've shared on the Facebook page where I had a massive skin tag on my side of my head that I've had for years has disappeared. I'm now just noticing that there's one in the back of my neck that's disappearing as well. And I'm just like, that is incredible. So yes, this has been a very positive experience for me. I've embarked on a few years back in 2007, I did try to lose weight just again for my health, and I connected that to exercise. So I thought it was all about the exercise. And I remember a very wise personal trainer back then saying to me, it's going to, it's 20% exercise and 80% what you put in your body. And at the time, I didn't understand that, because that's another thing in terms of when you look around the, you know, like the information and the education that you get around food and that whole industry of health and well-being, that I thought, oh, yeah, I have to exercise more. But now looking back, she was right. It is 20% exercise and 80% what you eat. And I think that's really important. And suppose I've just got the balance of it now where I am exercising, but I'm not overdoing it. And it's really about what I'm eating.
Yeah, I mean, at high point there, 200 pounds or around 88 kilos or something like that. Sort of just, I might have missed it there, but where are you sitting at as of today? What's the total weight loss been like?
I'm 136. I've lost 64 pounds, Graham.
64 pounds, wow.
5 stone.
Incredible, about 30-odd kilos, yeah. That's a massive amount of weight to lose in sort of, you know, 10 months, Gráinne, for sure. And life-changing, as you said, and must be so many other things. I mean, what about things like appetite correction? We talk about that, and I don't know about you, but before I came to IF, I had a big appetite, and there was a reason I was as big as I was in the amount of food that I was eating. Was appetite correction something that you found came for you, where you'd get to that point in your eating window where you just get that sort of almost a deafening signal, okay, I'm done, I'm fully satisfied, and you just switch off?
Yeah, and I think, Graham, that came from me about 6 months in. So I think, for again, that's why I'm saying, you know, stick at it for the first 3 months, you know, get over the first 3 months, because I think that there were occasions where when I opened my window that I would have overeaten, I would have overate and didn't feel good about that. So then I realized that I have to, you know, like, I mean, I need to tweak this. I need to get this right. But now it's, you know, like, I mean, coming from, I'm the youngest of six in an Irish family, Graham. And I don't know if that was some of kind of my eating habits where, you know, you wanted to finish everything in your plate or you were told to finish everything in your plate. But there was that definite, when we ate very quickly, so nobody else could get it off your plate. So there's definitely, I had habits like that where I would eat really quickly. I would probably eat too much when I had opened my window. So then I got to a stage where it's a really, you know, liberating feeling that if I'm full now, there could be food on my plate and I will finish. I'm going, my body is telling me. So it's really mindful eating of how am I feeling about this? You know, is it, have I had enough now? And usually it is. But I also notice that I still, if I get a, you know, a sugar craving or a sweet craving, I still do get sugar and sweet cravings. I go back to the Jen Stevens delay, don't deny. So I'm like, you know what, I have that, and sure, if I have this, still have it at the end of the meal, I can do something about that. And usually by the end of the meal, it has gone. So yes, I do definitely. My portion sizes are smaller now, and I'm feeling full up quicker. And I'm actually at a stage where I'm like, no, I don't need this. I'm happy. My body feels good. So is that kind of mindfulness sense when you're eating of checking in with your body, what does my body need right now? And that has been very liberating for me. And I'm still working on eating slower because that's a habit that I have to break after many years of, as I say, being the youngest of six. But it's definitely something I feel that I am in. So my food, I'm enjoying my food. Everything, I got my taste back of everything. Everything tastes amazing. And yeah, it's, I love going out for good food. And I went out for a Christmas dinner with my work colleagues the other evening, and I tweaked my window in terms of, I made, you know, one meal a day. I made sure that I had my starter, main course, and my dessert. And I came home and I, you know, next day I felt great, and it was a lovely evening. And yeah, so I'm really at a place where I'm really enjoying it, Graham.
Oh, this is fantastic. So with your OMAD, let's run through that. You just mentioned you went out there with your work colleagues and that sort of starter, and then you sort of had a main, and then you had a dessert. Is that the normal sort of restaurant style that you would do mostly on a daily basis? Like what I do, I'd do something similar myself, where I might open with a snack and then I'll sort of sit back and relax for a bit. Then I'll have my main, and if I feel like a dessert, for me it'd be something like some berries and yogurt or something like that. So is it more of a restaurant style for you, or is it some days where it's just one big plate of food?
mostly it's just one plate of food, Graham. I come home from work, and if, you know, like, I mean, if I hadn't had lunch that day, and usually lunch would consist of natural yogurt and berries, and then I would come home, or eggs and toast. Then I come home and I would have the whatever meal my family were having, because I don't want it, you know, like my daughter, I don't want her thinking that I'm on this, on a diet or anything like that. So I eat very we always sit down as a family and have our meal together. And then it's not that I would have a dessert, but I would wait a little bit and maybe have a green apple with a little bit of peanut butter and a cup of tea to finish, to close my window. And I always have that in and done by 6:30 in the evening time. So yes, I've always been admired you in terms of having the three for your one, you know, the three, the starter, the main course, and the dessert. I just come home and have the main course, and then maybe a little berries or the Granny Smith, the green apple and peanut butter. Not too much peanut butter, because I realise that can be dangerous as well.
I was going to say, green apple and peanut butter. I've never heard of that combination before in my life. I'm curious now as to what it tastes like. We'll have to try it one day. Well, that's fantastic. And so things are panning out for you, and now you've been doing this, like I say, for 10 months there. So let's talk about exercise now. And I know that's something we were chatting before. You've got something coming up that's very special. But how does exercise sort of fit into your life at the moment, Gráinne?
Yeah. Graham, I've always kind of described myself as a fat, fit person because I would have always, you know, like back in 2007, I had mentioned earlier that I trained I've ran a couple of marathons, and I trained and I got, you know, like I lost quite a lot of weight through that training, but then it gradually came back on again. But I wasn't really being mindful of the food that I was having. But this time it feels really different. I keep kind of suppose doing a little bit of exercise, because that's just who I am, always running. But I look back now and I realize that, you know, running with extra weight is not good for your joints. Like, I think of the pain that I would have been in running, and I would say to anybody that carries a little bit of extra weight is just be careful with the running. No one told me that. I suppose no one wanted to tell me that, but I look back now and see how painful it was on my joints running. So I would have, back in 2008, I ran the Dublin Marathon, and I would have been 11 stone. So I'm trying to think of that would have been probably
about 160.
Yeah. And looking back, and I did that in 4.5 hours, which I thought, that's not too bad for a bigger woman. So basically I try and keep up the running, but I have also got a training little local gym, and I go in and do a lot of the strength exercises once a week for an hour. And I also like to walk, and I feel that that's another thing, is movement is really important. Not necessarily having to do, you know, hard cardio, but it's like just keep moving, walking, strength training. I've started going to yoga once a week as well. So I'm kind of just trying to, like, easy and gentle, not kind of, you know, like having to feel like, you know, no pain, no gain. And I've been really enjoying it. And I've decided, I've upped my running. I was running 10-minute miles, and I've now on to 9-minute miles. And I'm in training now for the London Marathon, which is going to take place in 2023, April 2023. And I have to say, I have been loving it in terms of, I got rid of all my music. I used to run a lot with music, got rid of the music, and I've just been really kind of connecting with the circadian rhythms and natural rhythms in my body, and have been loving the running, and went and got my feet checked to make sure that everything's okay. And amazingly, when I compare myself from this time to last year, I'm not having any pains when I'm running afterwards. So that's why I would recommend, if you are carrying that little bit of extra weight, wait until you shed it, because you're doing the damage that you're doing to your knees. Yeah, so I'm I've been loving it. And I've also started open water swimming, and that has just been amazing. And going out to the sea in the morning time, going with friends, getting into the water, freezing cold, going for a little swim, and back out again. And that's just been really helping with my mental health as well. Makes me feel very clear. So yes, my life has changed, Graham, and all thanks to IF. And I've been actually really loving it.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. London Marathon. Wow. Next year. Well, we're definitely going to catch up with you after that and hear about all it went. And we're about to watch it on TV too. We're about to see you, Gráinne. That'll be fantastic. What a thing to do, and a lot of sort of a why that you're now training for and all that sort of thing. And the thing is, when you get weight off, like you've got that 60 pounds, it makes you feel like doing something like exercise. I know when I was very heavy, Gráinne, exercise was the furthest thing from my mind, because it was easier just to sit on the couch and not even think about getting up and going for a 5 or 10 kilometer walk. Whereas now I almost crave that. And, you know, I've got the weight off, and you feel so good. And you mentioned before about, you know, that mental clarity that you are finding and all that energy that you had for your job, you know, running all the charity events and all that sort of thing, which I'd imagine was keeps you on the go all the time. So that was a great thing to do as well. But let's move in now to what we about your support networks. And you obviously have a great family there in Northern Ireland, work colleagues and that sort of thing. And you mentioned there that you've had a little bit of pushback about people starving yourself and all that. And I always say to people that say that to me and say, you know what, I've never been to a funeral where they've got up and said this person died because they skipped breakfast. It just doesn't happen, you know. So don't be so silly, and everybody fasts, and then it soon shuts them up when you tell them that when they're sleeping they're fasting. But yeah, just tell us about that, your support networks, friends, family, how you plug into social media networks, that sort of thing.
Graham, my partner and I have been together 22 years, and we were the first UK civil partnership in 2005 to have a public ceremony. So we've been together 22 years. She's very tall, 5'9", slender. So it was never an issue for her. Weight was never an issue for her, and she would be a very healthy eater. I have to say, she has been really, really supportive in my journey with IF, never judging it, never making any of those comments around, you know, like, are you starving yourself? Just, she's like, you need to do this, and I support you in whatever that is. And so she has been very, very supportive, and we have made it fit around our schedules and our, I suppose, our life. I never wanted my 6-year-old, as I say, I don't want her thinking that there's an issue with food in our home. So, you know, if she offers me something, you know, I either politely refuse or, you know, I leave with her, but she'll always see me eating at the dinner table. So that has been really important to me, to have family support. I have, as I said earlier, I'm the youngest of 6, and I have 3 sisters who have been amazing, who have supported me throughout this journey and have put up with the photos that I've sent to them. They get the first photos always of the before and after, and have been very supportive when I've started to go around the shops and shopping for new clothes, and sending them photos of me in various different dressing rooms across Northern Ireland when I get a new outfit or whatever, because that has been something that has been, I suppose, a real novelty for me, being able to go into a shop where I'm able to go to any section of the shop and pick up clothes that's going to fit me, because that's not the way it was for me 10 months ago. So my family and friends have been really supportive, and my partner has just been there for me and really encouraging and really non-judgmental, and I think that's important. And some friends, you know, like, I mean, there was recently, I suppose, a work colleague, when I arrived at meeting and she hadn't seen me for a while, she goes, oh, are you still starving? And said, are you still starving yourself? And I said, no, actually, I'm not starving myself. I'm restricting the times that I eat. And that has worked well for me. So then that just made her, you know, supposed to be quiet around it, because I did look at her, I have to say, no, I'm not starving myself. And I find that offensive when people say, are you starving yourself? Because that's not exactly, that's not what is happening. So as I make it always clear to people, is that I restrict when I eat, and I stop eating at 6:30 every evening, and that's just, that's what works for me. and I feel a lot healthier for it. So I've had a really good support. And it's really interesting to me, Graham. I find, and I don't mean this, and you know, like I find that when people haven't seen me for a while, that my male colleagues are very kind in that they would say, you're training, you're looking very healthy, you're looking for... Some of my female colleagues will just ignore the fact that I have lost any weight. And I find, and I know where that comes from. I can see where it's coming from, that, you know, that there is that sense of, oh, you know, maybe I'll not mention it. I don't know, but I've noticed that some of my female colleagues haven't said anything, and but males have, and have been very kind with that in terms of recognizing that, you know, I'm training, or, you know, things look, you know, I look different. So that, and have been very complimentary in that. You know, I said that I'm running the London Marathon, so I put that out in social media, and I've got a really great feedback from people in terms of this big challenge that I'm taking on in 2023.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I suppose when you think about it, when you lose a lot of weight, Gráinne, sometimes people don't handle change very well, and or they don't know how you did it or why you did it. And sometimes they look at you like, say, I lost 100 pounds in 10 months or something, right, or nearly 50 kilograms. And so people are looking at me and they sort of thought, well, you know, he looks good, but what's happened to him? You know, like I'd run into people and say, what's happened to you? And or some people wouldn't say anything, and they just sort of look at you and you'd think, wow, they must have noticed. But a lot of people sometimes don't talk about other people's weight or comment on it, or they might think that you've been sick, or you've got something wrong with you, or you've got some dreaded cancer or something like that. So often I find I give people grace when they're not sort of very understanding about that sort of thing. And the other thing is too, when I have a tough conversation with people about the intermittent fasting lifestyle, I always finish it with, hey, you do you for you, and I'll do me for me. Because ultimately, it's us that has to live in our bodies, and we have to, you know, we're in control of our health, and we are the CEO of our health, and nobody else is. And so it's our business about what we eat, and we don't need to take pushback from anybody about this lifestyle. But at the end of the day, it's great to educate people if they come along and they say, hey, how did you go? You know, but I always just say to people, hey, look, all I do is I just eat later in the day than you do. That's all it is. That's about the nutshell. And then they sort of look at it and they go, oh, okay, no worries. And do you want to know why? I'll tell you. If you don't, that's okay. And off they go. But anyway, I want to talk about mindset for a minute, because you strike me as a person that has an extremely great mindset. Like, you're sort of driven to these challenges of the marathons and that sort of thing. And as we know, well, I don't know because I've never run a marathon, but I've heard people talk about it, you know, how these mental challenges that you go through, you know, you get through that halfway mark and you approach a certain barrier and you crash through that, and it's all mental. And it's interesting what you said too about not listening to things when you're running. I once heard a great Kenyan runner, Kipkino, he was asked, why are you such a great runner? And he said, I don't listen to anything while I'm running. He said, all I listen to is the nature. And he said, you know, you go to the park now and you see people with headphones on, you know, they're all listening to music or podcasts or whatever it may be. You know, when I walk, I live in a hills area here. There's lots of bird life, that sort of thing. So sometimes I'll take my headphones off and I'll listen to that. And it's so amazing. And even when you come back and you take your running shoes off and or walking shoes and your bare feet, and you go and stand on the earth just on your bare feet, and you get that grounding, and it's so great. And do you feel that that's really beneficial for people as well?
Yeah, I have to say, Graham, in the last couple of months, I was introduced to the circadian rhythms. And I think this is part of my journey as it has been evolving, because for me, sleep was always an issue as well. I listened about the circadian rhythms in terms of getting to bed earlier, switching off all Wi-Fi in the room, and basically then the TRE, the time restricted eating, are three things that if you do that in terms of your well-being and health. So I do the time restricted eating, and okay, so what do I need to do with regards to my sleep? And that's get to bed at 10 o'clock, and I don't set an alarm now, and for the last couple of months I haven't needed to set an alarm, and I waken up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I go down, and I don't turn on my phones or Wi-Fi or anything, and I go out my back and I sit on the deck and I have a coffee. And I have seen so many shooting stars in the last couple of months that I would have never seen before, because I was always in my head. But just being present and being mindful of the environment that I'm in, listening to the birds, it's been amazing. And I would say to everybody, now switch off your Wi-Fi, get the phones out of your room, and see how your sleep is. So I've kind of been taking that to the running. And that again was thinking, I used to run with my earbuds in, loud pumping music, and then it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to stop listening to the music and see how this feels. And I feel that I'm very connected with my heartbeat and listening to my breathing, and also just what I've been focusing on, and something that I've never focused on, is my running form, how I am running, you know, like in terms of in connecting in with my body, my feet, my knees, how, you know, like, so I'm running thinking about how being present in my body. And I think that is really important for me, and that's something, Graham, I wouldn't have been. Again, as you say, seeing people running with the music now, I'm kind of going, how do you hear yourself, do you know? So that's where I'm at the minute. And I think for me, this has evolved with time restricted eating, because again, I think when you're fasting, you have clarity, you have mental clarity, you've also got energy, and I think you can appreciate the really good things in life. And I've cut out, you know, a lot of news and lots of negativity to try and just, suppose, in terms of keep in touch with myself or get in touch with myself, and also just be very present with my family, playing dolls with my daughter and what have you. So it's just, and I wouldn't have been able to do that this time last year, because I now have this mental clarity of presence, and I'm not feeling that I'm stuffed up with food, I'm not thinking about food. It's like, yeah, it's been life-changing, Graham.
Yeah, I think that's an intuitive side of it too. You're in tune with your body, absolutely in tune with your body. So that's when you're, those rhythms that you're talking about, and when you're running, you can hear your heartbeat and all that sort of thing, and you're really in tune with your intermittent fasting. And so it's a great complement to that, because I've found over the years that I've become more of an intuitive faster. Like, you know, since I've been maintaining for the last 3.5 years, not every day is the same, because I'm listening now to my body's true hunger signals. And as we know, Gronja, there's those sort of head hunger, right, where you say, I'm going to chase the horse and eat the jockey. That's that mental part where you think you're hungry, but you're actually not. And then there's that other side of it where there's that belly hunger or body hunger, where you may not be feeling that great, you may be feeling a bit off, and that's the time to open your window, because, you know, you're not right. But you, once you learn the difference between those two, between head hunger and belly hunger, it's great. Did you find that came for you too, that you got more in tune with your true body's hunger signals?
Yeah, and Graham, suppose this is where I would be really interested in having a question for you, because I'm getting to the stage where I'll be looking to go into maintenance, because people now are saying to me, I feel that in terms of, I'm almost at my goal ideal weight in terms of my, I suppose, BMI, and getting ready to go, you know, like, I mean, what does maintenance look like? And if you have any tips around that. But yes, in terms of the head hunger and belly hunger, I think after the first 3 months, I was able to kind of understand in terms of, well, this is me actually being thirsty, I just need to hydrate, I just need to drink more, or this is me, I don't actually need this food, because I feel, you know, I feel full, I feel good, it's just my mind is wanting me to have, you know, like, oh, why don't you have this? So I think what I've been doing now is that pausing, and suppose then, like, I mean, will this help me to be healthy? And probably not. So then I kind of leave it. Or, you know, I do the delay, don't deny. Like, well, actually, this looks really lovely, I might have it, but I'll have it later. And I've always found that pause and reflection, and again, that's being present. You're not just mindlessly eating, you know, like, I mean, I would have maybe been preparing the dinner and lifting little snacks and eating. Now I'm kind of going, hold on a minute, I need to be focused on what I'm doing here, and not eating mindlessly. So it's always kind of as you say, that intuitive eating and eating with intention, knowing that you're just very present in your body when you're eating. And that has taken a while, Graham. I thought I would never get to that point, but I suppose, yeah, I would be there now. And sometimes, you know, it's not always, you have your good days and your bad days where, you know, I noticed I was in a very stressful situation. Actually, I was really positive. It was a really stressful situation a couple of weeks ago. And I find myself going, oh, I would just really like to eat something sugary now, and really was craving it. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm, you know, like, I've worked really hard at this. I know what this is. This is an emotional feeling coming up. Just let it go. Drink water. Keep moving. I was walking somewhere and I thought, I'll just stop and I'll get a coffee and I'll get a big bun. And I worked through it, and because I was really mindful that this is emotional eating. I'm wanting this bun because I'm under stress right now. And I was able to kind of work through it. So I think it's just having that mindset, Graham, and being just very aware of yourself and where you're at, and being gentle with yourself as well, Graham. That's another thing that I've learned through this process, and not giving yourself a hard time. Sometimes I see people on our Facebook page giving themselves a hard time, and I want to say, don't just be gentle with yourself. This is a journey. This is a process. You know, don't beat yourself up for, you know, having a bad day or whatever, you know.
No, give yourself grace is what we say. And, you know, at the end of the day, none of us are perfect. Life isn't a straight line. And, you know, when I sort of think about it, when I look at food, did I know that's not going to serve me well and I'm going to feel terrible after I eat it? I just ask myself two questions. What's my why? I mean, why did I start all this in the first place? And the second question I always say to me, is that going to serve me and my body the best? Because as I said before, I like to say I like to eat what makes me feel my greatest, right? And so if it's not in that box, then I won't eat it. But it doesn't mean that what I think may not be worthy may be worthy to somebody else. And I don't judge anybody for what they eat, because Lord knows I was judged enough right through my life on what I ate. And so that's not something I do. But I have my own thoughts and beliefs around, you know, certain food types that I think are toxic to the human body and shouldn't be consumed. But again, people have to find that information out for themselves, and you do that by research. But to get back to your question about maintenance, well, I guess it's a different mindset altogether to losing weight, because when you're losing weight, it's like the thrill of the chase. You see the scale going down, you're having people coming up to you and saying wow and how and bang and pow and all of that. And so it's like a roller coaster ride, you know, it's like this real adrenaline rush, if you like, when you're losing the weight. And then when you get to a point where your body gets to a set point, I always say to people, look, if you're finding that you've lost a hell of a lot of weight, and then all of a sudden it slows down and you're almost getting to a point where you're not losing anything after losing a lot of weight. I mean, people have weight loss plateaus, but I'm talking about losing a lot. It's a bit like climbing up a mountain and standing on the ridge, looking out, taking a rest, right? And then you keep going again. And then your body will start moving the weight. I had a 3-month stall when I was losing the weight after I lost 100 pounds in a year, and nothing happened. And I thought, wow, what's going on here? I'm doing the same thing I did before, but I just trusted in the process and kept going. So with the maintenance mindset, the thing for me was when I got there and I lost all the weight, I thought, well, what am I going to do now? How am I going to keep all this weight off? Is it going to be forever? But I felt confident with the tools I had of intermittent fasting, that was going to be okay. But you have to switch to that. This has to be flexible for life if you're going to do this. Because I know that if I went back to doing my normal eating that I used to do, even if I was eating a fairly decent sort of a diet, I would regain quite a bit of weight just simply by the process of how I lost the weight with intermittent fasting, right? So yeah, the mindset for me changed from that mode, and then I had to be more flexible. So I went from a 23-in-1 protocol when I lost all the weight, and then I thought, I need to make this more flexible to fit in with my life, to make it sustainable. How am I going to do that? Okay, so on the weekends I'm going to do 16 and 8 TMAD, 2 meals a day, so I can go down to the cafe with my wife and enjoy life, right? And then I guess in maintenance, you always got to look back and reflect on how far you've come So you sit down, like you said, you look at your before and after photos, and you will never want to go back there. Like I look at my photos of when I was obese, and I just think, I never want to go back there. Now I've found something that I was able to get the weight off and keep the weight off. I mean, I've been in a 4 to 6 pound range for 3.5 years. So with the goal range when you're in maintenance, it's very important not to give yourself a set box in weight, like just say 190 or 200 or whatever it is. You've got to give yourself that grace. So you might say, okay, I'm going to be in that 160, 170 mark or 150, 140, whatever it is. And just to give yourself that bit of leeway, and also to every day practice that self-affirmation, even after you've lost the weight, keep that up. You know, stay plugged into your groups, like your Facebook groups, your communities, because they're your tribe. And I need those people as much as they need me, because it's like an insurance policy, if you like. Once you get heavily involved in it, you never want to go back, because you know yourself, you have people in your circle or around you that have seen how much weight you lost. And you mentioned those ladies before. They're all sitting there waiting for you to gain that weight again, because that's what they think is going to happen. But when you don't, and you've had that weight off for a couple of years, you're going to find those very same people coming to you for help. And that's what happened to me. My start of my journey, the most negative people became my biggest supporters, and they joined in on the party of intermittent fasting. So I wouldn't worry about regaining the weight when you get to maintenance, but it is a different mindset. It's just, how am I going to do this for life and make it sustainable, keep it flexible, and keep in that range. So if you get up that top end of the range, wind your window back. If you get down the bottom of that range, broaden it out, and just use those tools of intermittent fasting to keep you in that range. That's how I sort of look at it.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think that is the key. The flexibility is key. And just, you know, keeping, being really mindful. And it's interesting that you say find the range, because I'm not there yet. And suppose initially I was like, oh, if I get to 140, and then I'm now like, if I get to 135, and my family are saying, but you said 140 and you're now saying 135. So they're, I think they're kind of going, just be careful now. You know, everyone, do you get a lot of that, Graham, where people are saying, be careful, don't lose too much, but you know, that's people's own stuff as well.
Yeah, it is. And well, it was the same with me when I was losing the weight. I went through 3 or 4 different weights. So I'd get to one and I'd think, you know, I'm going to go down a bit more. And people would say, oh, I thought you were there now and you were just going to stay there. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm not really feeling comfortable. I'm still 120 kilos, or, you know, 260 pounds, or whatever it was. And so I sort of, you, for my height, being a tall guy around 6'5", around 220 or 100 kilos was going to be about right for me. And then when I got down to that 98, 100, I felt good. And I thought, okay, I'm going to stay in this range between 98 and 104. So it's about 5 or 6 kilos, right? 4 to 8 pounds, whatever it is. So, yeah, it is. I found that maintenance wasn't really as big a challenge as losing weight. What I find difficult, Gronya, is working from home versus working at the office, because right through my weight loss journey, I was working in an office environment. So I'd go to work and I'd come home, and then I was able to fast all day, and then I'd eat when I got home. But now I'm working from home all the time. That is another challenge. So I've had to rewire my mindset again about, hey, don't notice those smells coming from that crock pot that Lou's got on the stove there. And yeah, so that's a challenge. And I think with maintenance, the other thing is that it's just getting used to the you body, how you look. I mean, I still walk down the road and look in the mirror and go, oh my God, who is that? Because it's hard to get used to that you identity, if you know what I mean. Do you ever see that when you look at yourself in the mirror and you just go, I can't believe that's me?
Yeah, I'm going through that at the minute, Graham. It's nearly like a body dysphoria. Is that what they call it? Because I still feel like, if you look, when I look in the mirror, I'm kind of going, is that really me? I've gone from like in UK size 18 down to a size 8. And a really interesting thing, as I said earlier, my partner was always, you know, like, I mean, very slender. And the other day, she said, I have a pair of trousers if you want, a pair of pants, trousers. to try, and I tried them on and they were too big. And that was a big, like, oh, wow. And I've, you know, like, I go in now to changing rooms and I'm looking and going, is this is a size 8? Is this seriously is fitting me? Or this is a bit big? Or, so that has been, yeah, I'm going through that and I'm finding that is quite, you know, that is, yeah, that's where I'm at the minute, and just trying to enjoy it, but at the same time, not quite believing it, that that's me in the mirror. And something that I was really struck by, Graham, you know, we talk about our non-scale victories, and you know, you had mentioned about the airplane and being on, you know, the belts, and that is a, you know, like I travel back and forth from Belfast to London and a lot, and that has been something for me I've noticed on the flight, is being able to buckle the belt and sit with my legs crossed on a flight. You know, that has been a big thing for me. But also I noticed that when I would come out of the bathroom, and I can't, like 10 months ago or a year ago, if I came out, I suppose I did this all my life, I wouldn't look in the mirror when I was washing my hands, because I didn't want other people looking at me and going, why is she looking at herself? Do you know? And that has been a big issue for me, is like I still notice that when I come out of the mirror in a bathroom, in a public bathroom, I still put my head down to wash my hands and I won't look at myself. And then I've recently just been going, hold on a minute, you know, own this, you've worked really hard for this, look at yourself. You know, that's the kind of mantra that I've been saying to myself. But I've noticed that, it's like, gee, for years I've not looked at myself when I've come out of the bathroom, because I've felt that deep shame or embarrassment, not wanting people to see me looking at myself, because they would think, oh, why is she looking at herself? And I think only when you've been obese and carried a lot of weight, that you will understand that. I think when you talk to other people who have never experienced that, won't understand where you're coming from when you're saying things like that. You know, my sister did say to me, my oldest sister, she's like my mother, there's such a big age gap between us, she's, don't be looking at yourself too much in the mirror. And I went, hold on, I will be. This is a very different body. I've never been in this size before. When you hear people talking about, you know, I'm back to the size I was before I had my babies, I've never had that experience. So I will be looking at every opportunity I get right now. I'll be looking at myself in mirrors and windows and what have you. So yes, that has been, that's a journey within itself of just really kind of, that's me. That's amazing, you know. So I'm enjoying that.
Yeah, it's fun. And it is a bit of body dysmorphia, what you talked about before. Sometimes I go clothes shopping and I'll pick up a shirt that might be a 2XL or something, and I'll look at it and I'll think, oh yeah, that's about right. And then the shop assistant will say, no, they'll take it off me and they'll give me one that says large with no X's on it. And I'll think, there's no way that's going to fit me. And there was a point in my journey where that happened. And I remember going into the change room with this large shirt. You know, at the time I felt embarrassed because I think, there's no way this is going to fit. These buttons aren't going to do up. All of that. I put it on and it fitted me like a glove. And I just broke down and I started crying in the change sheds because I was so used to seeing all these X's on my shirt sizes, you know, XXL, XXXL, all that sort of business. And all of a sudden, here was his L. And it was a really beautiful moment for me to see that. And I remember coming out of the shop in tears, and my wife said, what is wrong with you? And I said, this is what happened. And she was just like, gave me a big hug, and she said, that's amazing. And I don't think people understand it unless they have been through that. And you know, the mirror thing, I never bought a mirror in my whole life, ever, never bought one. And then when I sort of lost all the weight, I thought, I've got to go and find a full-length mirror, because I like the look, the way I look now. And I was the same, I'd wash my hands, wouldn't look at myself. And I think that's a bit of that self-loathing that creeps up when you're obese and how you feel about yourself. And I think what intermittent fasting's done for me, it's given me some self-worth and how I feel about myself. And I mean, people often say you shouldn't feel like that no matter what size you are. But the fact is, if you're a very obese person, you aren't as in tune with your body as what you are when you're not. That's the simple fact. And the way you feel about yourself and the way others see you, and you don't have to go through that daily grind of being obese and people sniggering about your weight, making comments, all of that. That all goes away. So you find that peace as well. And I think there's so many things that are going to come for you in this lifestyle. But I can't wait to talk to you after that last London marathon and everything else you do there. And I think you're an amazing person, Gráinne. And I really hope that you sort of go on with this lifestyle and help others. And speaking of which, if you were sitting around in a cafe in a beautiful sort of Belfast there, and you had a few friends asking you about IF and they wanted to start What sort of words of wisdom would you give them and some advice on how to start?
Start slowly. Go at your own pace. Start slowly, go at your own pace and try and get a rhythm or a consistency of what you're doing, and don't give yourself a hard time. Just take it easy.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Just start off slow, stay in your comfort zone until you're ready. And it does take a few months to get your body adapted and get what they call fat adapted and all the rest about it. But we'll do another podcast on that one day. But Gráinne, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway today, and all my regards to everybody there in the north of Ireland.
And the other thing I would say, Graham, the advice would be, you mentioned it earlier, get connected in with the support, the Facebook page, because I find that has been great support of all the groups out there. Yours is the one that I, every day I check in, and people are so kind, so lovely, so supportive to each other. And I think that's because you set that and you create that on your Facebook page. So I would say definitely, and get your book. I've got it for a gift for a few people this year, but I want to be sensitive in how I give it. So I'm hoping that they'll hear the podcast, and then I'll be able to share your book with them, because I just think it's remarkable and what you've achieved. And I feel really privileged to be here with you this morning and this afternoon.
Oh, thank you. That's beautiful of you to say that. And it's very humbling just to think that you're sitting there in Northern Ireland and you've read my book, and other people have, and other people are listening to the podcast from, we've got a lot of members in our Fasting Highway Facebook group. So if you're out there and you want to get some support, come and join us. People like Gráinne are only too happy to cheer you along, and we do have a good vibe in that community. We don't do nasty, we don't do mean, and we only do support and kindness. So that's the Fasting Highway Facebook group. Or if you want to hear about my story, as Gráinne said, you can find that in the Fasting Highway book. Okay, Gráinne, I'll catch up with you after the London Marathon. Good luck with that, and keep us in tune with the progress.
I will. Thank you, Graham. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Gráinne. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with you, and thank you for sharing everything that you did today. And I think that it's a very special thing that you shared with us, with your partner, and that special piece of history in your country. And I really appreciate you telling us about that. And I think your journey is amazing. And losing some 60 pounds plus in just shy of a year is absolutely incredible. So well done to you. And I look forward to catching up with you after the London Marathon to see where you are with your intermittent fasting journey. And as mentioned there, folks, come and join us in the Fasting Highway Facebook group if you want to get some support and you want to get going with your own intermittent fasting journey. You'll find plenty of support there. And come and ask some questions and you get some information. There's plenty of knowledge in the archives there. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.